Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome to episode 173 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host, Dave, and I have with me... Gray!
Hello!
How you doing?
I am doing very well, thank you very much.
Good, good. What have you been up to recently?
Well, similar to episode 172, when I heard you speaking to Ross last week, I have also been moving. I have moved back to Sussex. I know when I first joined Geek Town back in January, I was just moving up to London, but I have now moved back to Sussex, and I'm very, very happy. I'm in a lovely little flat, which does mean I have to commute a bit more, but I'm a little bit more...
But you're not having to sell off organs to pay rent, so you know.
Yeah, that's true as well, and I don't have to share with anyone, which is a new refreshing difference for me. So.
Yes, of course.
So obviously that means I have been waiting for my TV to transfer over here, so I've been in a little bit of a vortex with holidays and things like that. I haven't really been watching huge amounts on the live TV, so I've been relying on my catch-up thing. So I've got into the new 911, which is on Sky Witness.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's really different. I was a bit gutted to hear that Connie won't be back for season two. I think I heard you say that a couple of weeks ago, and so I went researching that, and I was gutted because actually that's a really nice sort of angle on that makes it different.
Yeah, I'm guessing that there is going to be a new character in as a dispatcher or as a 911 operator, because I mean she's sort of quite central to the whole premise of the thing. So I'm guessing there's going to be somebody new in that role, just not obviously the same character, a new character, but.
They've spent a lot of money on that cast. I mean, Angela Bassett, Connie Nielsen, Peter Krause, you know, that's a real bumper cast, isn't it?
Yeah, so. No, and it's a really good show. I did wonder, because it's Ryan Murphy, and it's the first time that you know, he's known for things like American Horror Story and American Crime Story, and then he comes along with a procedural. But it's a really good quality procedural, you know, it's really nicely done.
I gave Instinct a try. I'm going to just hold my judgment on that. A couple more episodes, please, before I make a real sort. I like it, but I'm not sure about it.
I can understand that.
I feel like I'm watching like a bit of The Mentalist back in the day. Do you remember The Mentalist?
I never saw it, but I'm getting vibes
of that a little bit. And then I watched SWAT, and I think it's a program I shouldn't like because it's just very procedural, very cliched, but I'm about three episodes in already. It's hooked. Yeah.
No, it's really good. SWAT's very much in the vein of things like Hawaii 5-0 and those sort of standard CBS type procedurals. It's a remake of an old show and a film, and it feels very much in that mold, but it does it so well. It's one of those shows that just really, really does it well. And I thoroughly enjoyed that series as well. I mean, as I've got older, I've started watching more and more procedurals, I think. And I've always liked things like Hawaii 5-0. When Magnum, I'm sure, comes out and will get picked up over here, I'm sure that's another one I'll watch because I loved the original series. I've been thoroughly enjoying SWAT. It's good.
Over to Netflix. I decided to complete a couple of series that have been hanging on my like downloads for a while. So I completed Safe, which was the Harlan Coben thriller. I literally finished that this morning on my commute to work.
Right.
And then I finished Travelers season one on the way home from work. And that's a 2016 sort of sci-fi time travel with Eric McCormack, who plays Billy Will and Grace.
It's really good.
You know me and sci-fi, Dave, I have to be really won over. And I really, really enjoyed that. So those are two that I finished. I'm about two episodes left of Rick and Morty season three, and I'm going to finish that tonight, I think. And so then I sort of started trying out some new ones. And so before I start watching Atypical season two, because I do want to watch that, I tried Paradise PD. Now, it popped up on my feed because I must have watched some other adult animations on Netflix.
Probably because of Rick and Morty, I would think. Yeah.
It's all right. I'm one episode in. I need to give it a bit of time. But I'll tell you one thing I really love, the Ultimate Beastmaster UK. So this, I don't know where it came from. It popped up on like possible new series I should watch. And I previously have been a fan of things like Total Wipeout and Ninja Warrior UK. And then it had this bizarre thing that Danny Minogue's one of the co-hosts. So I thought, what is this about? And it is just a weird show, but really good. So if you watch Ninja Warrior UK, it's very much like that. However, in each heat, there's one person from each of the 9 countries participating.
Right.
So us in the UK are watching the Great Britain version. So we get our voiceovers by the two hosts that are British, and they're in their little booth. But around them is the Italians, the Germans, the Australians, the Americans, the Mexicans, the Koreans. And they are also commentating on their competitor and our competitor. So
interesting.
Intense show. You're watching it. They're trying to do this like impossible sort of trip across this assault course, and then you've got these crazy hosts, you've got subtitles, you've got huge audience reactions, and I was really hooked on it a little bit, and so I'm going to probably go back and watch a couple more episodes of that. So that was even fun as well.
Yeah, I mean, out of those, Travellers, I really like. There's 2 seasons of that out already. There's a 3rd incoming as well. Really, really good show. Very enjoyable. Very much that sort of Canadian sci-fi feel to it, you know, so you know the sort of show it's going to be. Rick and Morty obviously is brilliant, and there's hundreds of episodes of that coming.
Yeah,
I've not watched Ultimate Beastmaster. They're not my sort of things, but I'm glad that they're doing that sort of thing, and they're doing it well. Paradise PD I've not actually watched yet, but again, it popped up for me. So and Safe, I watched the first episode of it. I did enjoy it. I just haven't got around to going back and watching the rest of it. But Harlan Coben's actually signed an exclusivity deal with Netflix, I think, now.
I heard about this.
There's
going
to be more of those type of dramas. The 5 he did for Sky before he went over and sort of signed everything with Netflix. And it's very much that sort of, it's interesting, very kind of British feeling drama, but starring Michael C. Hall, which is doing a British, quite convincing
British
accent.
Very British,
So, Dave, it's really good, really good.
A couple of other things. I've just been finally getting the chance to watch Lucifer season 1, really enjoying that. That's on Amazon.
Brilliant, yes.
I'm officially, because I'm a really bad film reviewer for Geektown, and I've decided to become the official Great British Bake Off reviewer because that's something I can watch each week.
One of the few people that does this that does actually watch it. I think Ross may watch it. You've probably shout at me for saying that if that isn't the case. But I've never watched an episode of Bake Off, and I don't intend to start at this point. So
I did go and see one film, however. So I went and saw Black Klansman, something that had really sort of piqued my interest. It's not the normal film that I would go and see, but it's a Spike Lee film. It portrays a cop in the 1970s, I believe, who's one of his first jobs is to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan, and it's really cleverly done. It's tinged with a bit of real life footage towards the end, and it's a huge commentary on sort of like the difficulties of that sort of period of time. It's quite a tough watch. It really is a tough watch. There, you know, they do good warning at the beginning with its rating about the use of racial language and racial sort of xenophobia, and it's quite a tough watch, but you know, it was good. I enjoyed it. I definitely would give that a 4-star rating, and if you really want to think and you really want to sort of get involved in that discussion, I know it's a very important discussion in society at the moment, I definitely would recommend Black Klansman.
Type of thing Spike Lee does incredibly well. So Adam Driver's in it as well.
Adam Driver as well, yes. And the last thing, I went to Friends Fest in Brighton yesterday. I know it's done a tour around a lot of the country, but it's finally got down to Brighton. So I had tickets and I took my friend, and it is just like the 3 hours of absolute great nostalgia. And, you know, you can go around and get dressed up in some of the costumes and take pictures in front of the key sets, and you can go on the stage. And, you know, me and my friend went and we watched it in the original run, and I just really just felt happy, and it was really good, and it was all very nice, and they all did little you know, special things, like all the food was branded with certain sort of elements of the show. Like there was Joey's Pizza. There was a Mokalut cabin which sold like chocolate milkshakes and waffles. There was the buffet, the vegan buffet diner, which was all these great little things. The only thing that annoyed me, Dave, and this still continues to annoy me, is we're taking pictures on the set and there's like these 10 and 12 year olds running around near us. And I'm like, they weren't alive. Why are they here? They're so annoying. It's any show.
To be fair, it has been in reruns pretty much constantly. So they may know it from that, or it's more likely that their parents brought them. But
they were saying all the quotes. They were doing all the lines.
Oh, well, there you go. You see.
So I get it. It's just I get very like, oh, that's my era. Stop taking my era.
I've been on the set because they've got it. They had it set up, the coffee shop set of Central Perk. They had set up at Warner Brothers Studios in LA. So I've been on the sofa there and, you know, sat and taking photos on the sofa. But this is ace. The idea of just taking, because they've got Ross's apartment set. And they've got like the corridor and Monica's apartment and all that sort of stuff.
I've been on the real one in Hollywood too, and it is, you know, they've done really well with it. Obviously, it's not the real things and all that, and it's all replica. But it's just a really, I think it's great. And you know what? Comedy Central are definitely making the most out of their purchase.
Yes.
But you know that I don't know what's happened now that Channel 5 and Netflix have got it in the UK. It's everyone's got the rights to it now, haven't they?
Yes, yeah. Clearly they've lost the exclusivity. But, you know, Friends is a great series. I'm glad it's going to be, you know, around forever, probably. So
Dave, what have you been up to?
Well, I've pretty much binging my way through the originals this week. That's been the main thing I've been on, because season 5 of that came out last week on Netflix. So I've been binging my way through that. It's really interesting watching it, knowing that there is another spin-off series coming, because you've got Legacies coming, which is the new thing that follows the child of the Michelson clan. So you've got that coming, and because of, you know, that, it almost feels like a prequel series to the new series that's coming, because a lot of it is based around Hope Michelson, who is the child of Klaus, and it feels very much like it's setting up the spin-off quite a lot of the way through it. It does still come to a satisfactory ending for that show as well. It's kind of got some heartbreaking moments in it. It's really well put together. I think it did a good job of sending off the original's cast, but it also does an incredibly good job of setting up the spin-off as well, which is going to be based around the magic school, which was set up in Mystic Falls. And follows the child, basically. And it leaves the opportunity for basically anybody out of any of, like, the Vampire Diaries or the original shows that are still alive to be able to pop in and do cameos. And I know they're already doing that. So it must be very weird for some of the actors that are in this show, where they've ended up playing the same character across three different shows now.
I don't know. How many other shows have done spin-offs of a spin-off of a spin-off? I can't think of, can you think of any others?
There are a few that do that. I mean, a lot of the more soapy things tend to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
And things like the procedurals, like, you know, the NCIS's and the CSIs. So, yeah. And, yeah, and that sort of thing. But they don't always tend to be direct spin-off things. I mean, some of the NCIS stuff does. But there's very few that have, you know, are in genre TV that have managed to do this level of continuation, you know. I mean, they've tried it with various things, but it's very rare that it actually works. I mean, look at things like Supernatural's tried just having one spin-off, you know, and they've tried that like three times, I think, now, and they've never got picked up. So, you know, the fact that she just writes very good drama and, you know, a drama that connects with people and the characters connect with people, which is weird considering they're all vampires and werewolves.
Vampires.
vampires, werewolves and witches. So, you know. But I've really enjoyed the fifth season of that. So, and I'm looking forward to, hopefully somebody will pick up the spin-off. I'm hoping that Netflix will take it, will take Legacies, but we'll have to wait and see. I also started Ozark. First episode of that pretty much continues where the first season left off. That's a great show if you haven't seen it. It's about a guy who moves to the Ozark Mountains, which are in Missouri, to escape a drug cartel because he is basically laundering money for a cartel, wants to sort of get out of it and ends up being found out and trying to escape to the Ozarks, but ends up still having to launder a large amount of money. And also he's dealing with this sort of small town America stuff whilst he's there as well. It's very much got a feel of something like Breaking Bad to it. It's Jason Bateman in the lead role. It's really good. Well worth watching. Atypical season two.
Started, no spoilers.
Started watching the first episode of that. I'm only one episode in for the, at the moment. I haven't, because I was watching the originals, I've only managed to sort of watch first episodes of a lot of these second season shows. But Atypical, I've thoroughly enjoyed the first episode. It's brilliant, as it was in the first season. It's really funny. It's one of the funniest, most endearing comedies you'll watch, I think, at the moment. Really good. And Iron Fist, also on Netflix. First episode of that came out. It generally seems to have gone down fairly well, having skimmed around the internet for reviews from various different people. I enjoyed the first episode. I think there are a few things that they've definitely got right. Danny is much less mopey than he was in the first season. He's much less irritating. You've also got the new director, new fight coordinator, and new showrunner, so that's made a huge difference. The fight sequences are infinitely better than anything we had in the first season, even in that first, just in that first episode, it just miles better than they have been. So thoroughly enjoyed the first episode of that. I will give more of a review when I've kind of watched the rest of it. Press was the other thing as well I watched last night. That was that's this new drama which is set in Fleet Street in London, or you know, what we refer to as Fleet Street, where all the papers are. And it's essentially follows a Sun type newspaper versus a Guardian type newspaper.
Interesting.
It's really good, really solid drama. Ben Chapman's the kind of slimy editor of the Sun style newspaper, and Charlotte Riley's an editor at the Guardian style newspaper.
Okay.
So it's just solid BBC drama. It's exactly the sort of thing you would expect from the BBC. It's very well put together. It's got this kind of interesting undertone of this plot going on about this woman that's been killed by a police car that didn't stop at the crime scene. So there's that going on. There also seems to be some sort of government project which they're trying to cover up, and the investigative reporters are trying to sort of look into it. And it just sort of peels back a bit about life in that industry.
So I found it.
Yeah, really good, well worth watching. So I would recommend that. And the last thing I just want to mention, I won't talk much about it because I know you'll zone out completely on this. but the Spider-Man game came out at this week on PlayStation, and I have to say it's absolutely brilliant. I've been playing it incessantly pretty much since it came out. It's absolutely superb. If you like things like the Batman Arkham City games, it's very similar in gameplay to what you expect from those games, just transposed into a Marvel universe with Spider-Man, but you're swinging around and, you know, taking out bad guys, and very well plotted. It seems to go on forever. There are points when you assume that the story is going to come to an end, and it doesn't. So I'm very appreciative of that. It's kept me going for all weekend so far. So I've been thoroughly enjoying that. Go out and get it. It's really good. So that's all the stuff we've been doing. Let's move on to some TV and film news. So we'll start off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups, as ever. A couple of renewals. Ballers and Insecure have both been renewed by HBO. That's Ballers for season 5 and Insecure for season 4. They've been picked up. Narcos season 4, which is actually titled Narcos Mexico, because they've sort of recast everybody, basically, and moved everything to Mexico for this season. That's coming to Netflix on the 16th of November, they announced. There's a trailer up for that, which is on the website. You can go and have a look at that. Looks really good. I really like Narcos. It was the first three seasons of that were absolutely superb. So thoroughly enjoyed that. They're now moving, looking at the Mexico cartels rather than the Colombian cartels. Some good news for Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans. Season 6 of that has now had its order extended by 5 episodes, I think, because I think it was 13, and it's now up to 18 episodes, which is absolutely superb news.
Hey.
So that's got a longer order. I doubt if it will get moved up again from that, but 18 episodes is still a pretty solid run. It's only down a couple from what it was when it was on Fox, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who season 11, they've announced that is coming on the 7th of October. And for our American cousins, it's also coming on the 7th of October and is being simulcast on BBC America at the same time, which is actually something quite reasonable. It's like 11 a.m. over there. It's not like going to be 2 a.m. in the morning like it is when they simulcast stuff over here. So,
I noticed it's Sunday. Dave. Yes. That's a difference.
Yes. First time the main show, as somebody pointed out when I posted the story, because I knew they would, because I said it's the first time it's ever been aired on a Sunday. And somebody pointed out, well, it's not the first time ever because they air the specials on a Sunday. And that is true. If this, if Christmas is Christmas Day is on a Sunday, they air the specials on a Sunday. But it's the first time the regular show has gone out on a regular Sunday night slot. Because, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the original series going out weekday. So it sort of settled into that Saturday night slot. I think a Sunday night slot is quite a good place to put it, though.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit better than a Saturday, because Saturday is still a very, people go out a lot during that evening, don't they?
Yeah,
and I suppose exactly. Sunday, more people are in. Sunday night dramas are getting a lot of like good coverage at the moment as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot for it. I mean, BBC always used to have a sort of 6:30 family Sunday night drama. That was when a lot of the more family-based drama used to go out. So I think it fits that slot really well, actually. I think that's probably a better place for it. I don't know. It was obviously, it's Doctor Who. It's going to do reasonably well wherever you put it. So yeah. I think, yeah, but I think this is a good place to put it down as a sort of family viewing thing. I think, you know, because like you say, people are more likely to be in on a Sunday evening, I think. The last bit of really good news, Designated Survivor has been saved by Netflix for a 10-episode third season, they announced, which I actually think is the perfect thing to do. It'll be a Netflix original drama. It went out on the US on a network channel. It's went out on Netflix around the world. They've now picked it up as a Netflix original series, but as we know, Netflix don't usually do more than 13 episode runs. They've actually said this will be a 10 episode run. I think there is a lot you can cut out of that show. There is a lot of baggage, I think, that came on that show, and a lot of bagginess that I think you could get rid of. So I think having a 10 episode run will streamline it a lot. I think it's it could slightly tweak the direction of what they're doing with it as well. So I think that's going to be interesting. It looks like it's going to be really good, though. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the first couple of seasons of that, so I'm glad to have it back. And I think having 10 episodes of it is probably the best way to do it. Moving on to bigger news, Henry Cavill has been cast as Geralt of Rivia in the Witcher series. And again, this is sort of semi-gaming related, so I don't know how tuned in you are to the Witcher stuff.
Not at all.
Okay. I mean, The Witcher is a bunch of novels, and then the novels were turned into some incredibly popular games. They are one of the best, or certainly the third in the series, is one of the best RPGs ever made, I would say. It's superbly put together. And considering where they started, which, you know, the first Witcher game was good, but they ended up having to revoice a load of stuff because it was really badly done when they first released it. But they pulled it back together, and it just improved throughout the various games. The third one was absolutely superb. The novels I've never actually read, but they're now producing this TV series which is based on the novels and the game. Interestingly, Henry apparently is a huge fan of the novels and the game. So he's the right person, I think, to take this. He seems very, very, very excited about it from all the reports we've been seeing. Obviously, he's well known in movies as playing Superman in the DCU. He's also been starring in Mission Impossible recently as well. Has done TV work before. The only TV credit I can really see for him is The Tudors, where he played Charles Brandon on The Tudors. But he's a huge fan of the books. So I think, you know, it's a perfect person to cast in this. And I think he got the right look for it. He's possibly a bit younger than maybe I expected, but I still think he can make it work. He'll do a really good job with it. So I'm very happy with that. There has been some controversy around the casting of Ciri, who is the the sort of child or adopted child of Geralt in the books and in the video games, because they're apparently looking for, I can't remember the acronym they use, but it's basically an African-American or person of colour to take that role.
Okay.
Which usually you would celebrate, but it sort of completely goes against the character description in the games and in the book. And that's had some people upset. And it's a tricky one.
It's such a controversial issue throughout all film and television at the moment. You've got to be so careful. It must be really difficult to be a casting director in this day and age at the moment too.
I mean,
because you've got that challenge, you know, good performer or, you know, the idea of staying true to the role. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when they have to make some of these decisions.
It is. It's really tough. I mean, I'm sure there are other characters as well in that show that you could have swapped the race off. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that was the apparent casting call that went out. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. And I'm sure whoever gets it will be brilliant in it. But it just seems like an odd thing to do, considering it's so specific. That just seems like a very weird change. However, moving on. Freeform has greenlit a reboot of Party of Five, which, for those of you who don't know, do you know the TV show Party of Five?
I never watched it, but I am fully aware of it. I think it was just a little bit before my time, so I was more of Friends era, and Party of Five was a little bit earlier.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was a 90s show. I think it actually did run slightly into the early 2000s, but it was basically a 90s show. The original show follows five siblings who are left orphaned when a drunk driver kills their parents. This new version of it, I actually think is quite clever what they've done, because it puts an immigration twist on it by taking five children who are having to survive together after their parents are deported back to Mexico. So I think that's quite a clever way of updating it for a sort of more modern era, and very timely, obviously, with things that are going on in America at the moment. So I think that's quite sensible use of updating the show. The new version's coming from the original show creators, who wrote the pilot with Michael Zibdi, who was a writer on Castle. So I mean, it's from the original people, which I think is always good, if you're going to reboot something, to have the original people back involved. I don't know, I think this could be quite a good drama if it ends up going to series. The moment, it's currently only a pilot. So
pilot, yeah, we'll have to wait. I imagine it will. I think with the current state of like the reboot sort of society and culture we're in, and how quickly they can be streamed, I can imagine this one going to a full series. You know, it's on the back of some really, really successful re-pickups. So
yeah, totally. And then we've got some DCU casting news as well for the new DC streaming service. Fortunately, we still don't know anything about what's going to happen internationally with those shows. There was a rumor flying around that they may not be launching it internationally at all, and the series may go to Netflix. But I don't know how true that is. That was a suggestion that I think that popped up online. Whether that is going to happen or not, I don't know. It would seem odd to me if they do that, because, I mean, unless they're having a lot of trouble internationally getting the rights to a lot of the things, you know, like the old shows, that maybe the international rights have gone somewhere else. But I would have thought that it shouldn't be a huge issue for DC to have the international rights to most of their own stuff, if they want it or get it back, unless they've resolved on ridiculously long contracts. Because it's not so much the original stuff that they're creating now, it's all the other stuff that goes with it. It's the things like the Batman the Animated Series, the Justice League series. It's whether they are in long contracts with, I don't know, Amazon or Netflix or, you know, Sky, for those that they couldn't launch it without having a massively reduced service. So I don't know. But yes, that was a story that was floating around. But in terms of casting news, they've cast Crystal Reed, who people will most recently have seen on Gotham, playing Sophia Falcone on Gotham. But she's going to be playing the main female lead on Swamp Thing. She's playing Dr. Abby Arcane, who is, well, in the comic book, she's actually the wife of Swamp Thing. But in this, it's sort of much earlier in the relationship. She sort of meets Alex Holland, who goes on to be turned into Swamp Thing. She meets him for the first time. So, and then sort of they end up in a sort of friend relationship. And it does describe him as the potential love of her life. So obviously there is something going on there. But yeah, I think this is kind of interesting. There was a couple more things that came out about Swamp Thing. Is there apparently they're going with a physical costume for Swamp Thing as well?
Oh, not CGI?
Not CGI, no. I mean, whether it will be CGI enhanced, I don't know. But they have said that it will be a physical costume. So they are having practical effects, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. But they have said that it's going to look amazing and won't look like a man in a suit.
I was going to say, I've got this really horrible image of like one of those 70s TV dramas and a man like, oh, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did do a Swamp Thing TV series back in the 90s and that did look like a man in a suit. And, you know, but I guess the prosthetics have moved on a lot since those days. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting that they're doing that. They're also saying that it's going to be a hard R as well, so 18 rated basically.
Oh,
which is interesting. It's not going to be aimed at a younger audience. It's which seems to be the thing with these, because Titans is most definitely not aimed at your sort of tween audience, given the sweary Robin in the Titans trailer, if you saw that, where he insults Batman, shall we say.
Yeah.
That you know, they're obviously going for an older audience with this service. So I think that's kind of interesting. They have also cast somebody else in Swamp Thing. Maria Sten is also joining Swamp Thing as a character called Liz Tremaine, who is a close childhood friend of Abby Arcane's, who splits her time between reporting for the local paper and bartending at a raging father's roadhouse bar. No-nonsense attitude, Belly's in deep compassion for her friends and family as she sets out on an uncompromising quest to expose the secrets that threaten her beloved town. That's the character description for that character. She's been in Channel Zero and Straight Out of Compton. They seem to be kind of pulling the cast together for that. One thing they haven't cast for that show is the guy that's going to be playing Alec Holland, who goes on to be Swamp Thing. Although if they're using a suit, I do wonder if they're going to end up with two actors playing that, whether you're going to have one person playing Alex Holland and maybe a really big guy playing the Swamp Thing with the other guy voicing him, possibly.
Ooh, don't know. That's going back to sort of Star Wars casting, isn't it? The different voice to the different character. So. Yeah.
Although, because they are doing that with Robot Man on the other show, which we're coming on to talk about, Doom Patrol. They're doing that with Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser's playing Robot Man and Cliff Steele before he becomes Robot Man in that show, but somebody else will actually be playing the physical role on set, and then Brendan Fraser's going to voice it.
Different.
So, yes, they are doing it with the other shows, so maybe they'll do it with this one. I don't know. But, yes, casting on that, they've announced Timothy Dalton is taking the role of the Chief on Doom Patrol. And the Chief is otherwise known as Dr. Calder, and he's the pioneer in medical science searching the world over for those on the edge of death in need of a miracle. So he's sort of the guy that brings the whole Doom Patrol together, because they're all people that have suffered horrific accidents, and he pulls them together and turns them into these super team. Calder will stop at nothing to help those he believes in need, including his collection of strange heroes known as the Doom Patrol. So Timothy Dalton, of course, people will remember as, well, Bond. He played James Bond. He also starred as Rassilon in Doctor Who. He was in Chuck as well, and most recently played Malcolm Murray in Penny Dreadful. Been steadily in work over the years, that guy, since he played Bond. So I think he's a good choice as well. I can see him in that role. Apart from the character in the comic books had like a massive ginger beard, so whether they'll make him ginger for it, I don't know. but yes, looks good. And that's all the news for this week. Next, we've got an interview.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The interview this week is with Hagen Budansky, who is cinematographer for, number of things, but the main show he's been working on at the moment is Berlin Station. Berlin Station is coming to Morfor at some point in the autumn. They haven't nailed down a date for it yet. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to get him on, to be coming to Morfor later. He also did a bit of work on Counterpart as well, which I think we mentioned recently. That's coming to Stars Play, the Amazon add-on channel. That's coming at the end of September for that. He's worked on a number of films as well, Young Victoria, The Lives of Others, The Physician. He's actually based out in Germany, and he's German and actually based out in Germany, which is kind of different because usually when I talk to people, they're in New York or LA. So it was actually nice to talk to somebody who is in working in his main country as well. And he's done a lot of German language movies and TV shows and all that sort of stuff. He also worked on Papillion, which stars Tony Hunnan and Rami Malek from Mr. Robot, which is a film which I think came out recently or is due out soon. So he's been working on that as well. We talk a little bit about that. We mainly talk about Berlin Station because that's the sort of big thing. He also joined as a director for the first time on Berlin Station as well, and will be directing upcoming episodes. So he's sort of in the process of doing some sort of cinematography and transitioning into doing some directing as well. So he was very interesting, really great to talk to. Here's the interview with Hagen. We'll see you afterwards with some highlights for next week. Hi, Hagen.
David, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Very well.
It's lovely to have you come on and spend a bit of time to chat. We'll start off with a little bit of background. How did you get into the industry in the first place?
I started out as an actor, as a child actor, basically.
Really?
So, you will not see it anymore. I had long hair, I'm playing the guitar, all that kind of stuff. And then I became interested in this man who's sitting behind the camera. And I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's even maybe more interesting than acting. And that's how everything started, basically. And,
right.
So therefore, I had some contact. And during my high school time and my university time, kept us contact, and from there on, it went straight on until now.
And you've done a lot of movies and stuff in Germany and a few of the stuff internationally, like Papillion, which is the film which you had out recently. But Berlin Station, like I say, is the thing which is about to start over here. So that will be a good place to pick up, I think. How did you get involved with that show?
Good one. The show came to Berlin. Paramount based himself in Berlin, and I think they were looking for a local cinematographer, but one who has international experience, because it's quite a big show, shot in American or international style. And then I think it's the usual thing. They sorted out some names. I was one of them, and I made it. So it's easy or not easy like this. Yeah.
You're the sole cinematographer on that show as well, aren't you?
Yes. The idea was that the cinematographer and the production designer is always the same. And to keep the visual consistency of the show, and the directors are changing. So let's say you have one season is 10 episodes. So every director get two episodes. So we have five directors per season, but only one cinematographer, that's me, and one production designer. For season one and two. Now we're in season three, and I became a director by myself. So Paramount promoted me, and so there's another cinematographer on it, because when I'm directing, I try to concentrate on directing. But as you said in the beginning, I'm the only, still, I think the only cinematographer on the show. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, which, that's kind of a rarity with a lot of TV shows, because quite often they have two people and you know, they flip backwards and forwards.
Yeah, that's the same. It was the same as Counterpart, where you have two, let's say, cinematographers sharing the workload and also the credit, of course, which is, I think, the more usual way to do it, because the workload is quite heavy and the schedule is overlapping and all kinds of this. But on Berlin Station, it was just me. I don't know. Maybe I should ask for a second one permanently. But that was the idea behind it.
Yeah, because it tends to be that one's prepping while one's shooting. And then
exactly. Yeah, that's a normal procedure, I think, in the TV world. But here, I think, I do everything at once. So that's it.
I mean, it makes sense to me, because cinematography is the one of those things that can make or break the sort of film or TV show, I think, because quite often you've got different directors coming in and, you know, like you say, and other people may change. But if the cinematography is wrong when you're shooting it, it can make the show look rubbish if you've not got it right.
Yeah, I mean, every director has his own style, so it makes completely sense to stay with one or maybe two cinematographers. And if there are two, then the communication should be real solid between them. And otherwise the show falls apart in terms of visuals. And this is something Paramount never wanted. So here we are.
With having different directors, as opposed to sort of working on a film, you know, obviously you've got one director going all the way through. How's the relationship with the director, and when you're switching directors out sort of every two episodes, how does that process work?
Yeah, it's completely different work style in the opposite the feature film world, where you have a decent amount of prep, usually 4 to 6 weeks in front of every feature film. And then you can talk to one person and you develop the visual language and you can develop a shot list together or look at films together and try to have your, let's say, a visual language together. Here, in general, in the TV world, when the directors are flying in and out, it comes on, let's say, much shorter notice. So you don't have that time, basically. So maybe you have one day with him to talk about everything. Also, usually the directors, they know which job they're picking up. So they saw other episodes, and then you just quickly talk about it, and one director might say, oh, I want to shoot everything handheld, and then you as a cinematographer say, wait a minute, this is not the visual concept. You saw it, everything is, well, let's say, a Steadicam, or everything is no movement at all, and then the discussion begins. Yeah, it's shorter, the prep. It's not so much your own child, because you're part of a whole series. And then there's a showrunner also, which says, oh, no, we never did this. We don't want this. So there's lots of people are, you don't have the creative freedom, let's say it this way, to explore the world from the beginning, because the world is already existing and you're stepping in. You still can do your own stuff, and you can try to, let's say, for the directors to bring in their own visual language, or of course their own staging and blocking and so, but the overall world is existing from character, from the production design, from the light, from everything. So it's less flexible of inventing the world new. Let's say it's this way.
Yeah. And I mean, with you stepping into the directing chair for Berlin Station, I mean, was that something you'd always wanted to do?
Yes. Yeah. The answer is straight yes. I never pushed it hard. So I never advertised myself. Maybe this was a mistake, but maybe not. But when the chance came and Paramount and our producers from Berlin asked me to do it, I immediately said yes, because I shot the first two seasons as a single cinematographer. I know all the actors. I love them all. They all love me, thanks God. And so it was an easy pitch. And then Paramount said yes. And then from there on, I stepped into it. It's funny enough, yesterday was my last shooting day as a director.
Right.
And today is my first day of prepping again as a director of photography for another director. So this is exactly what we're talking about. What we are talking about. I mean, I met the next director just today, and she did her prep while I was shooting my episode. So it's very short communication. I mean, you talk to someone for 2-3 hours, and the next day you have 200 extras and 3 cameras and you start working together. So it's, I think it's more about trust, and it's more about you do your job and I do my job. So
yeah,
it's more like this, basically. It's also when I was stepping in as a director and I had my own cinematographer, let's say, which I was happy with because I chose him. But still, I mean, you look at it and you think, oh, wait a minute. well, why is he doing this? Because I never did it. Or why is this so complicated? Or why is this so easy? So it's a completely different world you're stepping in. And but it's fascinating. So I really love it. And But again, you have to trust somebody else and say, okay, maybe I'm not so happy right now what he's doing, but okay, I let him keep doing it. Yeah. So because I have to concentrate on my stuff.
Yeah.
I have to work with the showrunner, the writers, the actors, of course, the actors. And then I have to let things go. And this was what happened.
I imagine that's got to be one of the toughest things is taking your brain away from being the director of photography to focus on the direct.
Don't forget, this was my brain for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, I mean, this was like shock, not a shock, but something which felt strange. But I think I made it. It took 1 or 2 days to accomplish it. But then I was completely out of the technical world. I was happy to forget it.
Yeah, I mean, it also makes sense moving into the director side of things for the cinematographer, particularly on a show that you've been working on and you set up, because you then go back to what you were saying about having those longer discussions with film directors.
Yes.
If you were the cinematographer and the director on an episode, you're sort of having those discussions internally, I guess.
Then I really, I think this, I mean, no, this would be too much. I think you have to concentrate on the acting, on the directing, on the staging, and if someone comes up and got a good idea which you never had before, this is also good because you need people to contribute, I think. And so I was happy with my cinematographer because he had some great ideas, which I was too busy with my directing, acting stuff to think about. So I still believe in the system that there is a director and a director of photography.
Yeah. What's the most fun thing about doing the job that you do?
As a director of photography?
Yes.
Lighting. So light is everything for me. I'm the big fan of, if I can do something really good, this is all, then it's the lighting. Yeah, because this is what I love, to work with gaffers and with production designers let's say what we often do here on the show is to create, we shoot mostly on location, but we have a couple of big also stage builds. And this is what I love, to have to show the right background or backdrop and to give it a day or night or sunset or morning feeling and in the studio and just to play around with light, which is appropriate always to the emotions, I think, of the scene, and not counterbalancing it. Sometimes counterbalancing could be nice too, but this is what I really love, to light a set and then shoot it.
Yeah, I mean, lighting's so vital.
Yes.
Yeah, because it, it can completely alter how things come out. I mean, you see it, having done in my ancient past some 3D modeling work, and you know from doing that just the amount of difference that having bad lighting on a model compared to having good light, and it translates very much into film and TV and that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, bad lighting on actors is horrible, I think, especially on women. And no, I'm super keen about lighting, especially women, and give them the right and beautiful light, and also with every set and every build, so every production designer should get the best light his work or his set required. And that's what I'm super keen about and super crazy about. Mm. And that's what I love.
Do you prefer to use natural light if you can, or do you want more control over it?
No, not necessarily. I prefer nothing. I mean, I do whatever is necessary. Natural light is good, but it's not constant, of course. It has its own quality, of course, which is, it's God's quality. So as a cinematographer, you try to replicate it in the studio or anywhere else. But of course, over a period of, let's say, 10 hours, the light has to be consistent for the season. And you cannot say, okay, I shoot it available, I have 2 hours. And then the director comes in and said, okay, but I have 8 pages. I cannot do it in 2 hours. So you have to give him the flexibility of shooting it for 8 hours, and the consistency of the light is a real big thing in the feature film world, and also in the TV world, of course. So this is one point. And then, of course, the light has to have its own character, or adds its own character to the actors, all the show, especially to the story. So it's a mixture of a lot of things, but I think it's super fascinating, and it never stops. So it's great.
Yeah, yeah. What's been the most challenging thing for you on a project? It doesn't necessarily need to be Berlin Station, actually.
No. Let's talk about Papillon, for instance. This is where we shot the prison in complete natural daylight. This was the most challenging part, because the shooting started a little late. So we started in September, late August, September, until November. And then the weather changed a lot. And we had this big set on the top of the mountain. So we always deal with sun, no sun, clouds, sun from the wrong perspective, from the right perspective, then rain comes in. And then finally, not snow, but we had a lot of bad weather at the end. So, and this, not fighting the weather and the light, but to make it to your advantages and to the story. This, I think, is the most challenge, because then you have to talk to the first AD about the schedule, which is shoot it better in the morning or in the evening, or now today it's raining, yesterday it was sun. It never match. Can we wait 2 more days? Can we delay this scene? Can we pull other scenes forward? So this was a real logistic, not nightmare, but let's say challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a particular moment in your career so far that really stands out as, either something you did, or, something you're very proud of, or something that was particularly entertaining or interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super proud of that Paramount announced me as a director for the third season. And I'm super proud that they're so happy with it, that they give me for in the next season even more episodes to direct.
Brilliant.
So this is I think, super brilliant, and this is cool. And as a cinematographer, every time I think the actors are looking good and feeling comfortable in their environment, especially in their light, I'm super excited about it. Most of them, they recognize it, and they some of them come to you and thank you for that. And I think it's my job, it's my profession, I'm happy to do it. But if this happens, then I think then I succeeded in the way, and then I'm super proud and happy about it.
Good, good. Obviously, you're shooting Berlin Station at the moment. Have you got any other projects that you want to talk about that are coming up?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if Counterpart comes back, Berlin Station comes back, and there's also a big TV show coming up called Black Box Berlin, which is a more contemporary produced show. Which I'm attached as a director.
Oh, cool. And
this will come up. It's German-based production, a Bavaria film, but we will shoot it hopefully not next year, but the year after next year, in 20. It's huge it's a huge show, and this is something I'm really looking forward to. We are into financing and casting right now, but it looks quite promising. So Black Box Berlin will happening in the near future.
Is that a German language, German based?
Yes, exactly. This is not this is German language based production, and the storytelling is four different characters in Berlin living in complete separate hoods and neighborhoods. And then finally, they integrate to each other. So it's a multi-perspective story about four different families, which then interact over the course of 10 episodes.
Oh, wow. That sounds like it's going to be really good. We do get some foreign language. I know it's not foreign language to you, but foreign language films and TV shows over here. We have certain stations that show purely that. So. So yeah, we've get quite a lot of the Italian and some German and French and a lot of the Swedish Norway stuff.
Yeah, so. Denmark, Swedish, Norway. They're doing shooting a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll end with my final usual two questions. The first question is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
None. I'm super busy shooting, directing, editing. Yeah. I see nothing.
That's not uncommon that some people say, yeah, it's either I'm too busy to watch things, or I've been staring at screens all day. The last thing I want to do when I go home is watch more.
I mean, there are great TV shows out there. But you tell me, what are you looking at right now?
I just finished the Jack Ryan series on Amazon.
This is quite new on Amazon, right?
Yeah, just came out last week. Really good, really, really good.
Okay, so then I will look at it. I'm a big Jack Ryan fan from the feature films, of course. What do you think about The Crown?
The Crown's an amazing show.
Is it? Okay, cool. I have to see it. I never saw it, but it's, of course, I think it's Netflix, right?
Yeah. The Crown's a Netflix series. That's well worth watching on Netflix. Ozark is the other one that's worth watching.
Yes, I also heard about Ozark. Very good.
Second season of that has just come out. And Better Call Saul, which is running over here as well at the moment.
Okay, so you see a lot, man.
I'm running a TV site. I spend most of my day watching TV on and off. So.
Oh my God. Okay.
The last question will be, if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, a past, present or future TV show, which one would it be?
I think that's why I mentioned The Crown. I just saw one piece of it, and just a 10 minutes piece. And I think it looked great. And I shot The Young Victoria as a feature film.
Yeah, sure.
In London, and if there is any UK-based show I would love to work on, then it would be The Crown, I think.
Yeah, very good choice. It's a great show. Awesome. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you. I'm very, very happy to have you on. I'm very much looking forward to actually seeing Berlin Station, having heard about it for about 2 years now. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I'm very much looking forward to watching Counterpart as well, because that arrives at the end of the month. So,
So let me know how you like it.
I will do.
If you like it at all.
I will do. Awesome. Right. Well, have a great day. Thanks for coming on.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was the interview with Hagen Badanski. As I mentioned earlier, Berlin Station is coming to MORE4 at some point in autumn. Counterpart is coming the end of September to Stars Play. You can find that, which is the add-on channel you can get through Amazon. Now we'll move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week. We're getting into that point where a lot of things start to come back again. So
too much. My head hurts. I can't take it all.
Yes. It's already started, and it's only going to get worse as we. I mean, October's insane. First, we've got Fresh Off the Boat coming up. That's coming back to Five Star for its third season. That's on the 12th of September at 8 p.m. Never seen that, but I guess it's quite a funny sitcom. So
yeah, I've watched season one. I need to watch season two before I watch that one. So.
Yes, yeah. Trust is a new drama coming to BBC Two. It's a US drama, stars Donald Sutherland. It's about the kidnapping of John Paul Getty III, the heir to the Getty oil fortune. Stars Donald Sutherland and Hilary Swank, written by Simon Beaufoy, who wrote Slumdog Millionaire, and it's exec produced by Danny Boyle, so it's the Slumdog Millionaire team behind it. It was originally set to be on Sky, and for some reasons known best to Sky, they decided not to air it, and it ended up on BBC Two. So
interesting.
I don't know why that happened, but it did. So Trust season one of that, or it may just be a one of our drama. Don't quote me on there being more seasons of it, but that's coming to BBC Two on the 12th of September at 9 p.m. You can watch that. No Offence, the brilliant cop drama, comedy cop drama, I guess. It's comedy-esque cop drama. Season three of that is coming on the 13th of September to Channel 4 at 9 p.m. It's hilarious. It's from the creator of Shameless, and it's just really funny, dark, wonderfully entertaining. I love the characters in that show. It's brilliant. So 13th of September at 9 p.m. for that, for No Offence. One I know a lot of people have been waiting for, A Discovery of Witches. This is coming to Sky One on the 14th of September at 9 p.m. Contemporary love story set against the backdrop of Oxford academic life, but in a world where a handful of witches, vampires and demons live and work unseen amongst humans, hiding in plain sight. Looks like it could be brilliant, this. And it's very rare we get kind of homegrown, you know, fantasy stuff. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing how this fares on Sky One. Could be a really good show, this. 14th of September at 9 p.m. for that. BoJack Horseman season 5 of that, back on the 14th of September on Netflix. I keep on being told to watch this, and I still haven't got around to it.
Yeah, I'm a couple of seasons into that now, so.
Yes. I'm told it's very good. There is a show called Forever, season 1 of that, coming to Amazon Prime on the 14th of September. That is a comedy drama about June and Oscar, who find themselves way outside their normal suburban comfort zone. I have no idea any more about it than that, but could be one to go and look out for. Killing Eve finally is coming both to BBC Three and BBC One on the 15th of September. It's actually been dropped as a box set on BBC Three, so you can binge your way through it, but if you got crap internet connection and you want to you need to watch it weekly, 15th of September at 9:15 it starts on BBC One. Spy thriller from BBC America, that. So looks really good. It's from where Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and all reports say that it's brilliant, and it's coming back for another season, I think. So one to go and watch that. So I think that's everything, unless you've got anything you want to add.
Well, only because we are on a podcast, I've decided to start teaching podcasts at school today. I've been teaching them to my older students, so I've been teaching them all about the podcast industry. So if anybody out there delivers their own podcast like us at Geek Town and wants to contact me on my Twitter at GreyTheGeek, I will, and give me some tips and advice that I can teach the students, that would be really, really helpful.
Awesome. Oh, very cool. Raising the next generation of podcasters.
Exactly.
for us throughout the week, you can obviously go to geektown.co.uk. We've got lots of news going up at the moment, and air dates coming in like ridiculously fast. So go and check out the air date page. Go and check out the news feed. There is lots of news coming in. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown. On YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.